Welcome in, podcast listeners. I want to encourage you again to make sure you don't miss Kirk Herbstreit, the new guest for Wins and Losses, my weekly podcast exclusive. If you're enjoying this podcast, I promise you will enjoy that one as well. Also, we are in the process of having a lot of fun with you guys. I will be on Thursday breaking down my performance in the Memphis Pro-Am surrounding the PGA and the WGC event. But in the meantime, Petros Papadakis swings by, addresses the controversy of him calling in last week and not being allowed on air, and we will talk about the latest major controversy in the world of sports. It's Madden ratings as they pertain to quarterbacks. Jason Martin's in with me. We have a good time, and it begins now.
Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Live from the Geico Outkick Studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And we're brought to you by TrueCar. When it comes to selling or trading in your car, you need to make good choices. And with TrueCar, you've got a star on your roster. So when you're ready to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar. True cash offer not available in all areas. What is available in all areas? How about Outkick? As we get geared up for what should be, I hope, a decent performance by me on the golf course. I am going to be down in Memphis today playing in a, they're not quite calling it a pro-am, but it is effectively the pro-am for what is a big event down in Memphis, the PGA Championship and the WGC event, which basically has every top golfer in the world coming in right off of the British Open, except for Tiger Woods, who obviously has still got some health conditions. In terms of big names, almost everybody else is going to be there. And when you think illustrious golf performances, you definitely think Clay Travis. I don't know how anybody else could think anything other than that. And I'm doing the show today with Jason Martin. Bring in at JMart Zone, who set in last week for me. But we have a list, and I thought this would be fun, kind of get people rolling here on a Wednesday. The list of celebrities that are participating in this event. And I was going to have you kind of roughly assess where I am pegged on the celebrity list.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So we've got a huge list here of all the different celebrities that are taking place. And I'm going to go, this. I'm reading from the list provided by, this is the Memphis Commercial Appeal newspaper. And this went up a couple days ago. And, I will have you, I will give my opinion, then you give your opinion on whether or not I am more famous than these people. All right.
This is the height of egotism right here. This is Outkick in a nutshell right here.
All right. And we start because the big sports figures that are in the city of Memphis right now, you got Penny Hardaway, who's killing it on the recruiting trail. Penny Hardaway, undoubtedly way more famous than me. I'm actually excited to meet Penny Hardaway. I don't know if we've ever met in person before, but I do think it'll be good to get to meet him. Memphis basketball is back under Penny Hardaway. So there's no dispute that Penny Hardaway is more famous than me, right?
Correct. Yes, yes, he absolutely is.
All right. T.O. is also going to be there. Terrell Owens, Hall of Fame wide receiver. No dispute that T.O. is more famous than me, right?
Correct.
And by the way, this is an interesting thing because you remember like the Super Bowl last year, I wanted to go to the DirecTV party and I was asking them whether I qualified as a celebrity. And I think it kind of gets into what counts as a celebrity because like in sports talk radio in general, Dan Patrick and Colin Cowherd are more famous than me, right? They're on Fox Sports Radio and part of our network. Gottlieb and I are relatively equal. I don't think there's that much difference than Broussard and Rob Parker, like in that universe, right? So I would say that Cowherd and Dan Patrick are on a different level. But even in sports talk radio, Jim Rome, maybe because he's been around for a long time, like, are those guys celebrities or not? Probably so, right? Wouldn't you say those three guys are celebrities?
The three guys, who, name them one more time for me?
I would say Cowherd, I would say Dan Patrick, and I would say Jim Rome are celebrities.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, but after that, Like, I don't would like, for instance, Gottlieb and I be celebrities?
Yeah,
right? I'm kind of in that middle ground.
There's a gray area here. You're in purgatory.
I'm in purgatory on celebrity standing here. So I can understand, like, so I, if people don't remember, I emailed back to DirecTV and I was like, hey, I'd love to come to your event. Do I classify as a celebrity? Do I qualify? Because I'd like to watch the Foo Fighters. And DirecTV, like, they didn't have any idea how to respond, because I don't know that they've ever had anybody directly email them before and say, hey, am I a celebrity or not? So I thought that was I thought that was pretty interesting in and of itself, that they had no idea how to respond. But okay, so off the top here, Penny Hardaway, T.O., clearly celebrities, way more famous than me. All right, here we go. Muffet McGraw, Notre Dame women's basketball head coach. I think I'm more famous than Muffet McGraw.
I think you are, too. I think more people know who Clay Travis is than know who Muffet McGraw is, with all due respect to Miss McGraw.
And women's basketball in
Correct.
General.
Yeah, I was trying not to go there, like, but yes.
But, I mean, like, Gino Auriemma would be more famous than me.
So famous that you can't pronounce his last name, Gino Auriemma.
Yeah, close enough. But I think Muffet McGraw, maybe the most famous Muffet, that
one that sat on her tuffet. I think Little Miss Muffet is still probably a little bit more famous than Muffet McGraw.
Muffet McGraw. All right. So I'm more famous than one. J.R. Smith, this is going to be incredible if I'm in his group, because I'm kind of wondering if he'll play shirtless. Clearly, J.R. Smith, more famous than me.
Yeah, but you possibly have a chance with a photo op where you can recreate LeBron James pointing in the opposite direction from last year.
Oh, that
like, there's
be,
an opportunity to do something really good and create something that might make you more famous.
That would be actually really funny if we did that. All right. So those three of those first four are more famous. Colton Underwood, he's from The Bachelor.
Yeah, you're talking to the wrong guy here. I'm sure there are some women that might know who that is. I have no clue who that is, so I'm going to say it's you in this case, even though I know how big The Bachelor is. But look, not everybody that went on American Idol is more famous than you or than somebody that's around all the time. This is season 23 of The Bachelor. I don't know how many seasons there have been. I don't know if he's current. I don't know enough about The Bachelor, but I just feel like name recognition, I doubt it.
I'm not sure. I honestly don't know on that, because The Bachelor has a huge audience. I'm going to disagree with you. I think he's more famous than I am.
Okay.
Because there are millions of people who watch The Bachelor, and he's on television. My television show is nowhere near in the stratosphere of The Bachelor. And certainly, like, for men, I might be better known than Colton. But for women, I mean, like, he is infinitely better. So I'm going to say he's more famous than I am. All right, Eric Sleepy Floyd.
Mm. I see, that's tough, because he is an NBA player.
Former NBA player.
Yeah, I think thanks for that clarification. Yeah. I feel like I know the name Sleepy Floyd, and a lot of people know the name Sleepy Floyd, but how many know Sleepy Floyd?
Yeah,
he played in the NBA. I think it's you.
I think I'm more famous. Chris Harrison, he is the host of ABC's The Bachelor. I mean, if I'm excited to meet somebody, they're definitely more famous than me.
Yeah.
He is way more famous than me. Here's an interesting one. Bill Hemmer.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Co-anchor of America's Newsroom on Fox News.
Yeah, I mean, he's on every single day.
What time is he on?
America's Newsroom is kind of like their show surrounding all the bloviators and those that opine. So it's like he's in the morning sometimes from 9 to 12. Sometimes you can pop up in the afternoon. He was part of their election night coverage. He's become the guy that stands by the big monitor with the touch screen. He's the one that handles all of that. So he's pretty recognizable. It just depends on if you watch Fox News or not. Because if not, it's not like he's Bill O'Reilly from back in the day or Tucker Carlson, who is immediately recognizable.
Or, you know, like if you're not a Fox News person, it's not like he is like on CNN, Wolf Blitzer, or Anderson Cooper, like people that everybody knows.
I mean, even people know. I mean, if you want to go even further left, even like MSNBC, I don't watch it, but I know Rachel Maddow.
Right.
He's not that. He's not one of those kind of personalities.
But I think he's probably more famous than me, just because Fox News is so popular. I mean, there are millions of people who watch it.
Probably.
All right. Drew Holcomb.
He's good. He's really talented, but I still think it's you. Like, Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors are a really good band, and especially locally, they're a really good band. They've been around for a while. But I still think it's you, because I just don't know how many people that aren't real music heads, that aren't from this area in particular, know who Drew Holcomb is.
Yeah, I was going to say me. I have no earthly idea who that guy is.
That's what I thought. That was my guess. Like, it's not the lead singer of Imagine Dragons, so it might be you.
Yeah, I have no idea who that is, so I'm going to say I'm more famous than him. What about Andrew Howard? He's evidently from Limitless and The Watchmen. I don't know this guy. I think I got to be more famous than this guy.
Well, Watchmen is what's coming out on HBO this fall, and it's going to be huge. Limitless made it one season. Hatfield McCoy's was a limited series. It did really well on History Channel.
Is he related to Ron Howard?
I don't know, and I'm not going to get that wrong by acting like I do know. I think it's probably you. I just don't think enough people. They might recognize his face, but I think it's probably you.
This is your wheelhouse, because you know me and my audience, but you also know every actor in every show that's ever existed, so you're going to be more aware of these than I am. All right, next, Dahani Jones, who was a former NFL player, and I guess he's on TV now. Zero doubt that I think am more famous than Dahani Jones.
Yeah, Dahani Jones is, I think he actually is more known for some of the media stuff that he's done with the Colin Cowherds and the Baylesses and those guys of the world, appearing on Fox and appearing on ESPN back in the day as well. But I don't think he is any kind of recognizable name outside of the hardest core sports circles.
And by the way, I don't know any of these people. So I know one name, like I've hung out with one of these guys in normal life. So and he's been on my television show before. We'll get to him in a little bit. Alan Leach from Downton Abbey. At least I pronounced that correctly, because I know a lot of you out there think it's not pronounced downtown. And Bohemian Rhapsody. I have no idea who this guy is.
I don't either. I'd have to look him up.
So it's got to be me.
Yeah, it's you.
Okay, Bodie Miller. I feel like Bodie Miller
is
really well known,
yes,
because he was in so many Olympics over the years. Like, I've never met Bodie Miller, but I feel like I kind of know him. We're around the same age, because how many Olympics was he in? Like, three or four different Winter Olympics, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was a pretty big name there for a while. I think he probably has you licked on this
one. All right, do you watch Big Little Lies?
No, not really.
I mean, I know that show on HBO has become very popular. Catherine Newton.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, we're not looking at Reese Witherspoon here. We're not looking at Meryl Streep here. We're not looking at the ones that are more known. I think that right now, because Big Little Lies just finished up its second season and it's kind of been talked about quite a bit over the past couple of months, maybe she has more name recognition right now. But Catherine Newton is not a name that I think you're going to see. I'm like, oh, Catherine Newton's playing today. I've got to make sure I watch that.
All right, Brad Penny.
Yeah, pitched in Florida, I believe, when they were still the Florida Marlins back in the
day. I think it's me.
I think it's probably you, yes.
Sterling Sharpwind. Sterling Sharpwind.
I think so. I mean, at least for me, I know him, and I watched his entire pro career.
How much of him also gets the benefit of being Shannon Sharp's brother?
Maybe a little bit. I mean,
Shannon Sharp is more famous now than Sterling Sharp.
No question, and that's because he's more of a boisterous personality. And Sterling Sharp went the I'm going to go quiet and do the X's and O's route on the NFL Network, where he's actually one of the better ones, even though he's not on TV nearly as much. But yeah, I think it's probably you. Or it might be Sterling Sharp.
Nick Swisher.
Got to be Nick Swisher because he played for the Yankees.
Yeah, I know. And Swish I know because he comes on our show on Lock It In pretty regularly. He's a good dude. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually, at least there'll be one person that I know out on the course. Joe Theismann, no doubt,
yes,
right? I mean, Theismann is a really big name.
Yes.
Here's one that I'm curious if you know. Bruce Thomas from Legally Blonde. Now, first of all, Legally Blonde is like 20 years old.
Yes.
I have no idea who Bruce Thomas is.
Yeah, I'm looking him up right now. Yeah, that film came out in 2001. And like, if you look at his face, you're like, I might have seen him in other stuff. But he's not ever done anything even major. I'm looking through like his IMDb, and he's done a lot of stuff, but he shows up in one episode, so he's kind of one of those dudes. He did do The Bold and the Beautiful, some episodes of that, and a few Beverly Hills 90210s classics back in the day. I just don't think, like, that's not a name that registers to me, so I think that's you too.
Big win there. And then the last one on this list, Gary Williams. He hosts Morning Drive on the Golf
Channel. It's not, I mean, that one's not close. That one's you. If it was Gary Williams, the former Maryland basketball coach, maybe we could have a different argument, but indeed it is not.
All right. So I pretty squarely would be middle range on this, you think, based on the way we've described it?
Yeah, and I think if you make an ass out of yourself, you could become a bigger star. This week, like, you could become the star just based on being yourself.
That should be intriguing to keep up with. All right, we'll bring all this to bear with Petros Papadakis, who's going to join us next. And this is an important issue that we had on the show. You guest hosted last week.
Yep.
I neglected to let Petros know that I was going to be on vacation, and as a result, Petros called in. And what happened? Like, you knew that he was calling in, or you didn't know?
I had no idea. I had told Danny. I said, "Hey, Danny, you can tell Petros he can go ahead and have the week off." And so I just said, I mentioned the guys that I felt like we still wanted to have for sure, and maybe Petros just wanted to take a week since you were taking it off. And so Danny gave me the information on the three guys, did not tell me anything about Petros. I certainly had no idea he was calling in. No one ever told me through my earpiece or anything that he was coming in. So I just went right on through and hosted the show. Apparently, I have disrespected Petros Papadakis. This is a thing.
We're going to have a confrontation about this, because yesterday during the show, and I got blown up about it because people were tweeting me about it. This is from Kelly Sam. Last week, your fill-in host, Jason Martin and Jeff Schwartz, and she tagged you guys on these, interviewed regular Outkick guests Frank Isola and John Morosi, but not Petros.
Also Alex Marvez.
Yeah, I sense a rift, perhaps East Coast bias, and so we're going to have to get into this. East Coast bias from Jason Martin, what has happened to his relationship, if any, with Petros Papadakis? We will discuss next. This is Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios. Joined now by Petros Papadakis at the Old P on Twitter. And this we got a little bit of a controversy, because last week, I will accept blame partly for this, I didn't reach out to Petros and tell him I was on vacation. That's on me. But I also thought that everybody else was going to reach out and, like, he would know. But anyway, you called the show on Tuesday at your normal guest time, and what happened?
Nothing.
Like, you talked to the producer, though, right? He answered the phone.
Some guy answered that I didn't know, did not have a rapport with me, and told me that you were on vacation in Colorado, which I should have figured out because I do follow you on Twitter, and then told me he was so sorry, and then asked me if I wanted to go on with two guys and talk about youth sports because that was the topic they were into. And I politely declined and hung up the phone and went to sleep.
All right, so this is interesting.
That was it. I mean, do you want something else? Now,
No. What do you think? So Jason Martin is here with me right now, who was guest hosting then, and he wasn't even told that you ever called in.
Nope.
Is that the guy that couldn't figure out my landline?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
Really? Put all my business
I'm just
out.
Trying to clarify who's who.
Yes. So I think the producer, who I don't even know who the producer that was sitting in, because my normal producer's not there, has an obligation to let the host know that there's a regular guest who is called in so he could at least make a determination about what to do.
Well, I don't think that's fair. If I was hosting a show and I had it all set up and it wasn't something I regularly did, and then some random slappy from the West Coast that I don't know or probably despise if I do know calls in, and then some guy gets on his ear like, "Hey, we got to put this guy on. Hey, Petros, what's up?" I mean, I don't blame anybody for the situation. I was just extremely bitter because I had a hard time falling back to sleep,
of course,
and it ruined my day.
No, I totally understand. And also, I didn't realize anything had happened until I checked my Twitter feed, and evidently it had blown up into a major controversy. So
I missed the Twitter controversy, but I don't monitor Twitter in the same way as you do. So
I'm trying not to spend as much time. Do you know how much time you spend on your phone now? Do you ever check your time, like, meter?
Well, too much. I mean, well, the truth is, like, if you're not on Twitter 24/7, you miss news.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not on, like for us, like, not just people, like, waiting to see what the president tweets or somebody on the opposite end of the spectrum just so they can jump all over them and get after their ass. That's the sickness. Like, for us, it's a sickness, but I think it's a different kind of sickness because, like, you know, like, if you're off Twitter for a couple hours and somebody comes to you, like, did you hear about this? And you're like, no, I didn't know. You feel like an a-hole.
Not only that, and I mean, it impacts your show.
It's
because
where news is.
Yeah.
It's where all the news is now. And you have to find a way to sift through it. And we all get more savvy over the years as to figure out who's a fake and who's not. We've all been fooled once or twice by some stupid fake account or somebody that wasn't verified or somebody spreading something that's not true. But the truth is, for what we do, like, we have to monitor Twitter so we stay on top of what's happening so we don't sound stupid on the air. That's where all the news is. It's sad.
Do you remember a time, like, as I try to think back, do you remember when you got your first cell phone?
Yeah.
How old were you?
Yes, I do. Well, you know, I lived in the pager world
here
in Los Angeles. You know,
yes.
I'm not sure.
I remember the pager world, like, but not everybody had a pager, just some people.
I had a pager and a pager and a Hello Kitty pager chain. And the thing about the pager was, you know, it was almost reverse technology in that you'd get a page and you'd have to pull over like 8 lanes on the 110 freeway, get off, find a payphone in South Los Angeles, and call somebody back only to figure that it was like, you know, you think it's some hot chick and it's some guy you don't want to talk to. Like, hey, what are you doing next week?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was always something terrible. But I remember pagers. I remember JJ, the king of beepers in Los Angeles, who would literally have billboards with a giant beeper and like a girl in a bikini straddling the beeper as if she was having sex with it. And then I got to say, though, there was the song. Remember Back to the Hotel by In Too Deep, the white guy rap?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Yes.
I think it was Houston, and it was beep, 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 beep. They had the pager in the song. So, like, I was much more connected to the pager as a romantic thing, probably because of Menace to Society and stuff like that, as opposed to the cell phone. Remember when everybody who had a pager was a drug dealer?
That's what I was going to say. Like, everybody that I knew back in Nashville in the day, like, they all had pagers for nefarious reasons, right? Like, there wasn't a reason why you would have a pager that would be... I mean, there were a couple of kids who were, like, trying to show off, like, oh, I'm, you know, was it, like, who are you trying to get called by, right? And like you said, it's not that cool.
Well, that was me. I had a pager, and, well, my older brother had a pager.
Yeah.
And he, like, found Jesus or something, and he gave me the pager.
Yes.
And so now I'm in high school with a pager, and I even had, like, a line to my room with the pager number on the message. So it was like, hey, you've reached, or like, hey, you've reached Petros, and I'm not around. You know, there was a song in the background, Party in Session by Black Uhuru, and I was like, you know, but if you don't want me, you know, if you want to reach me right now, you can page me. And I gave my number, and Clay, no one ever paged me. It got so bad. I used to page myself. I'd go to the payphone at the high school, because you had about a 35-second buffer, right?
Yeah.
So I'd page myself on the cell phone, on the payphone at the high school, and then walk into a group of people and be like, oh, hold on, sorry guys, gotta go, gotta page, you know, here at 11 in the morning at a high school.
And then you'd have to go make a phone call, fake phone call on the
payphone.
Very
sad. Yeah. It got sad, and I became humiliated with myself and ultimately threw the pager into the ocean.
Is this really true?
Yeah, and then I got one later, you know, in college. But in high school, I threw the pager in the ocean.
So the pager gets thrown in the ocean. I went through all the way through. It's interesting because I think there's like a – did you see the quotes from Pat Fitzgerald or see the video that kind of went viral?
Yeah.
Talking about cell phones and everything else. So I do think that there are a lot of people listening to me right now that are around our age – that, like, I went all the way through college without having a cell phone, right? So age 0 to 22. Now, I will say we had one of those big, when I was in high school, my mom was terrified of accidents, so I had one of those huge Zach Morris cell phones. but it cost like.
Oh God!
You remember those?
Yeah.
But to call someone.
That's the call in the airstrike Vietnam
phone. Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. And it also was really expensive to have to call somebody. So I had it like it was like a ton of bricks, and it was like in the you never used it, but it was like my mom got it in the event that we had like a crash or, you know, like needed to make a call from the phone once we had our driver's license. We had like, I don't know, 10 minutes of total airtime a month, you know, and I have no idea what it costs or anything else. But I never used it. I never actually made a phone call from it because it was exclusively for emergencies. But so I didn't get one until I was like 22 or 23. And then for a long time, you know, another decade or so at least, they weren't that useful, right? They were useful as portable phones, like to use as actual phones. But it's only been in the last decade that really everybody's life has changed and we have these mini computers. Like, I remember the first guy I saw with an iPhone and the BlackBerry, which doesn't even exist now, but, you know, kind of turned into be called a CrackBerry. Like, our world totally changed with the phones becoming more prevalent, and I don't know that we all realized how much.
No, it changed, and I don't know if it changed for the better, but you don't need me to make, you know, some kind of crazy social commentary. All I remember is texting and how much easier it was to get, like, when I was single, a girl to come over.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, you could literally send out a text like, hey, thinking about you. Like, it used to be so hard, you know, and now, of course, with all the dating apps and stuff like that, you know, you basically, you know, it's like DoorDash, you know,
yeah,
if you're
right.
kind of good looking. But I mean, just remember how crazy that was and just being like, wow, I was really at the beginning of that. And then, you know, of course, got married. But
I remember one of my buddies said,
I couldn't believe how easy texting, like you could send the same text in the middle of the night to like five different people. And I'm sure it wasn't unique to me, you know, like, hey, what's up? You know, and it was that easy. As opposed to, like, you know, all the juxtaposition and planning to try to be around women that you had to do when you actually had to speak to people.
Oh, yeah. Look, one of my friends said to me a couple of years ago, like, when the dating apps really started taking off, he turned to me dead serious and he said, I never would have gotten married if I had known that, you know, like, Tinder was coming. It was like this.
Well, I just remember, you know, I just remember being in, like, Lubbock, Texas with, like, people, you know, guys from Los Angeles, like, it just says Los Angeles. I mean, you could look like Quasimodo, but it says Los Angeles on your thing. And the guy, like, you think he went to the bathroom, and then he comes back to dinner about an hour later. You're like, where did you go? It's like, well, I just had sexual intercourse with a local, and now I'm back. It was just like, my God in heaven, you know, it is truly a different time.
It is amazing because you do think as you get older, it gets harder and harder to meet people. And that was his point, was like, and you get tired of going to bars and you get tired of like blind dates or sitting around on match.com, like sending emails all day. And then boom, Tinder shows up and it's just like, it's amazing how easy it is. And it's totally cosmetic, which for guys is great, right? Because you're just like, oh, she's good looking. Da, 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 da. You know, like, well, you're just flipping through.
What's the one where the girl picks you?
I think that's Bumble.
Well, that would be exciting, right?
Yeah, I think either way it would be great, right? I mean, if you're a guy and good looking girls are willing to hook up with you solely because you have an app on your phone, it's not a bad way to be living. And you and I and everybody of our generation really never got that opportunity. But the flip side with that is, I would say, the phone. Like, I was on vacation last week, and it used to be...
I think that I still have a soul, though.
Yeah,
you
right.
know?
But if,
I think at a certain point, you do enough Bumble or Tinder
yeah.
or whatever, and your soul flies out of the hole in your penis.
I think that very much well could be the case.
Am I allowed to say that?
Well, I got a penis story for you.
About this too. I follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, I want to ask you that question too. In fact, you know what we'll do? We'll go to break, and you want to come back for another segment?
Do I?
Do you? All right, that's great. When we come back, more with Petros. This is Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios. Petros Papadakis with us during the break. You, because you are so on the ball with the latest in the world of sports, pointed out that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are scheduled to be introduced for the first time as Clippers. Does it still sound strange to you to say that?
No, because I think it's something people have been talking about happening for a couple years, and the Clippers have put themselves in a position to do this for a couple years. You know, they traded Blake Griffin and got rid of that contract in relative anonymity. I mean, nobody knew that was going to happen. You know, they got Chris Paul to trade as opposed to just leave them high and dry. So they got stuff out of that. You know, they traded Toby Harris in the season right after he won a game for him late at night. Nobody saw that coming. So they put themselves in a position to do this. It is a little surrealistic to think that it actually happened. You know, all the analytical talk for years actually came to fruition and became human beings. You know, cap space is the most, I mean, he is the best prospect player in the history of the world. If you just got a jersey with a zero on it that said cap space on it, that's the best. Forget LeBron, forget anybody. Just the cap space jersey is really the most promising jersey in the world, and it's the most confounding because it doesn't really exist. It's just something you talk about. But when that happens and it becomes a person, like the cap space jersey became a LeBron James and Anthony Davis jersey for the Lakers,
right,
which is a big deal if it wasn't overshadowed by the fact that they pursued and lost Kawhi. The cap space became a Clipper jersey with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George on it, which is really amazing. We know that they have great ownership. We know that the perception of the league is different. Obviously, the fan bases are drastically different and all that. But this just proved all the stuff that people have been saying over the years about this ownership group and front office right. And I guess in that regard, I'm not surprised.
We're talking to Petros Papadakis. You can listen to him, AM 570 LA Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at The Old P. He is on the Petros and Money Show every afternoon. He is on with us now as on Wednesday, actually, because you came on with us on Wednesday because Tulsi Gabbard, Democratic presidential candidate, came on with us Tuesday, which was its own story. And she made news, and that kind of popped in a funny way. Given the fact that she's the first Democratic presidential or Republican presidential candidate to come on the show. So that was actually pretty fun. But I want to go back to, we were talking about phones.
I put
and paper.
A candidate on. I've only put one presidential
Who'd you
candidate
put
on my show, and I did get a lot of backlash from listeners, like that, why wasn't I on? Why do you have this political person on? I'm sure you got a lot of that, too.
I actually did. Who did you have on?
No, you didn't have me on yesterday. Instead, you had a political candidate.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought you said you've only had one political candidate on before.
Oh, I have, yeah. No, I did, yeah. I had Rudy Giuliani.
How did that happen?
He was running for president. He wanted to come on.
Oh, okay. And so what was the reaction when you put him on? Were people upset?
No.
Yeah.
Not back then.
Yeah, look, I mean, the reaction for Tulsi Gabbard was like 99% positive. I think people just enjoyed hearing. It's like I was getting into detailed policy discussion. I think, you know, look, if a candidate wants to come on and they're interested somewhat in sports and it spirals into an interesting direction, I'm more than happy to have them on. But we were talking, I want to circle back around to our pager and cell phone discussion. We were talking about what impact the phones have had in our life and Pat Fitzgerald and everything else. And now when I go on vacation, there are some days where I just want to leave my phone and not be able to be reached, right? It's the exact opposite, right, of what we used to live, where you're like, oh, it's awesome. I got this phone. I can talk to anybody anywhere. They can find me anywhere. And now I feel like we're kind of circling back around on the other direction where it's like, I wish I couldn't be found. I wish I couldn't be reached.
It used to be a lot easier to escape. You
yeah.
know, I mean, when you went to dinner with somebody, you really went to dinner with somebody. You know, if you went on a drive with somebody, you know, you were just more present in every moment, I guess. And these things sort of take us out of that. So whenever you can sort of get back to the dark ages, I guess it's a good thing. But then again, you're going to get clowned by the J-Marks of the world and the Danny G's. If you didn't know what's going on, you know, if you didn't know about the Kawhi Leonard presser today at noon on AM 570 LA Sports Pacific Time, then you're going to get punked, because it's your job to have all of this stuff right at your fingertips and be right about everything and not be surprised by any information ever.
It is interesting in that respect.
That's how my radio partner is. You cannot tell my radio partner anything.
He already knows it all.
Every once in a while. Oh, yeah. Like, you'll be like, hey, didn't you hear there's a nuclear holocaust going on in New Mexico? Yep, saw it. Totally saw it. I mean, there's just no way. I mean, I couldn't get up at 2 in the morning and beat that guy to any information. And that is the race we're running, Clay. It is a horrible hamster's wheel of death.
That is such a fantastic way of putting it. All right, so I'll quickly here, as we finish off with Petros Papadakis, let me give you this story. So my boys, I've got three, the 11 and the 8-year-old, are getting to the age where bodily humor is becoming, you know, something that they talk about, right? And I'm not just talking about like poop and fart jokes and stuff like that. Like every now and then they're dropping in a penis joke. And sometimes they're loud with it, right? Like, you know, you're out and you're like, ooh, you know, that's like, they don't know necessarily tact at all, as no 11 and 8-year-old boys do. You know, you have no idea for their own, like their voice, they don't know how it carries. And it's going to get even worse when they're like 12 and 14, you know, and they're like a total mess.
What kind of penis jokes are we talking
about? Not like extremely. No, I mean, just like, you know, like. I mean, first of all, using the word penis to them is really funny. So like saying it loudly is something that, you know, like they are prone to do now every now and then. And so I was like, you know what, I got to have a conversation with them about, and I've never in my life felt like more of a hypocrite than when I sat down with them and I was like, hey, we got to dial back the penis jokes, boys. You know, they're getting to be a little bit out of control, and you know they're loud, and you know your mom and I are out to dinner, and we can't have you screaming penis or telling a joke that the other tables can overhear. And like seeing their faces and trying to make this argument with them, it was like it was almost impossible to make this to make, like, I've never felt like being a parent was more difficult, or that I've been more of a hypocrite than trying to tell them that they were making penis jokes too loudly.
I have 2 points to make regarding that story. Number one, everything I tell my kids, I feel like a hypocrite, because I was the worst kid in the world.
Yes.
And me screaming at my kids, be nice to your mother. I mean, these are literally things I just could not do.
Yeah.
As a young person, you know, that's not how we act.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. That is exactly how we act. And that is how I, you know, I'm a terrible hypocrite. So I feel your pain. When it comes to the word penis, and I know how much it annoys some of your more delicate pearl clutching listeners. And I understand that. AM radio used to be a place for wholesome talk, but we just can't afford that anymore. I would say it's better just to say it in Greek. If you can get the kids to say it, like most people that I hang out with in my circle of friends, they just start to use that word.
What is the word?
I don't
know
if they use it. Putso.
Putso. Oh, that's a great idea for me to give to them.
And it's a bad word in Greek. But nobody, like, there's literally nobody that's going to call you on it in the United States of America. I say it all the time. And you could say it on the radio, whatever. And everybody loves to say putso. And it's not going to offend anybody, even though they know exactly what you're talking about.
Putso, indeed. That's Petros Papadakis. I am Clay Travis. We'll be back next with Hour 2. More on OutKick next.
Be sure to catch live editions of OutKick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Live from the Geico OutKick Studios, hour number 2 off and rolling. I'm getting ready to go tee off in the, it's not officially a pro-am, but it is a pro-am for the city of Memphis, getting ready for their PGA WGC tour event. It should be a lot of fun. My thanks to Petros Papadakis, who just joined us. And ran through the controversy surrounding his calling the show and not being allowed on air. A couple of stories that are kind of percolating out there. We've got NFL training camps moving closer and closer. Zion Williamson has decided to sign with Nike, which was a big topic. Actually, the Jump brand of Nike, which is Michael Jordan's brand, is a big topic of discussion in the wake of his shoe blowing out. Probably ended up making some extra money because of that. But Nike gets their man. Michael Jordan gets his man. So now the question is, how good will Zion be? We only got, what, a half of a game for him in the NBA Summer League. And it'll now be till late October when the NBA season officially debuts that we'll find out exactly what to expect from Zion in season one. But certainly he's going to be paid as if he is going to be a transcendent superstar. Speaking of transcendent superstars, and this is a topic that's been really intriguing me, Madden ratings came out. Now, I have been and was a longtime sports video game player, right? I think, in my personal humble opinion, sports video games peaked with Tecmo Super Bowl, my favorite all-time sports video game. I played early iterations of Madden. I have since tapped out. At some point, you just get too old. I don't want to be the 70-year-old guy trying to play video games. I know there are probably some 70-year-old guys out there playing video games right now. I'm 40. My kids are obsessed with video games, right? They play Minecraft. They play they play a lot of Madden. They play FIFA. They play baseball. They play NBA, whatever the NBA game's called now. They play all those games. They play so many different video games, just like we did when we were kids. And so there isn't that culture now that screams, oh, my God, the kids are playing video games, and they're never going to be able to be normal, which was kind of around when we were kids, right? Like, video games were just kind of starting off. You had the NES that you had to pull out of the, you know, the console and the 8-bit and blow on it every now and then to get it to work again. Like, that's my era of, like, the 80s, the 90s. Like, those were my era of video games. But I'm still cognizant of how big the overall Madden is, because, one, my kids love it and they want to get the updated Madden every year. But, two, because the players who have now grown up playing Madden, every year the ratings come out and they are legitimately upset if their speed's not up to par, if their toughness not, like, all of the qualities that are ranked when it comes to Madden become a major issue. And I was thinking about this. I was like, why does this become an issue every year? And I think I've hit on the reason, really. And if you think about it, how often do you hear in the draft process that a guy has a chip on his shoulder? It's maybe the number one cliche that exists in the NFL in general. Oh, he didn't go until the fifth round. He's got a big chip on his shoulder. Oh, he didn't get drafted. He's got a big chip on his shoulder. Oh, can you name the guys in your position group who got drafted before you, and how often it is the case that a successful player 10, 12, 15 years after his draft, you say, okay, you played a cornerback in the NFL. How many corners went before you? Or you played running back, or you played quarterback, or whatever position you played, you can rattle off if you later become a successful player the guys who went before you that you don't think had any business going before you. And so I was trying to think, most of the time that disappears though, right? Because by and large, free agency is different years. When you become available to go out and sign deals, guys, once they actually get into the league, aren't necessarily competing head-to-head as often with one another. Now, you get that one overall rating that exists, which is the draft, and you are whatever round you are picked. But then you move into your careers, and while people might remember those draft ratings, they get all scrambled up and discombobulated and reanalyzed once the players actually take the field, such that the only reason why you really talk about your draft stock is as that chip on the shoulder story, if you become a successful player, that Aaron Rodgers style, I can't believe you had to wait that long in the green room to be drafted, the disrespect that sometimes seems to fuel players for multiple years once they actually get into the league. Except when it comes to the Madden ratings. Because by and large, you don't ever get objective ratings of most players competing against those same guys at their position very often. So I think this is a recall for many of these guys to what they went through in the draft, where they were treated like a piece of meat, where you have to walk around in your underwear, where they measure your arms and your legs and your height and everything else, and you have to do all these different drills designed to project how you are going to perform as a football player once you get into the NFL. And this is basically that brought back to life where they are a number on a page and you can look at where they compare and how they compare to everybody else in the same position. And I think certainly for non-quarterbacks who, let's be honest, are not that frequently analyzed as a perspective, other than maybe whether or not you make the Pro Bowl or whether you're an All-Pro and things like that. So I was thoroughly intrigued by this and the story that kind of popped as all these Madden ratings came out. And I want to bring in Jason Martin. What do you think about my thesis there that a big part of this is it's almost like a recall of the draft where suddenly you have to realize, hey, here's how I compare to everybody else. And it just like it almost brings back all those competitions to yourself where you're suddenly looking at them. And by the way, I've got them for the quarterbacks, which I think is pretty intriguing and we can maybe get into. But what do you think about my psychological theory that this is almost deja vu all over again? You're back in the draft being compared meat market style with everybody else at your position, and you just get a number, much like you do in the draft. Boom, you spit out, hey, you're the number one first round, you're the first round pick, 27th pick, whatever it is, and or you're undrafted free agent, you weren't even good enough to get drafted. You buying into this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You look at a number, and it's not as high as you want it to be. And it's not as high as guys that you think you're better than because there are so many athletes. It's kind of weird because the egos are out of control and they're also incredibly fragile. These guys generally can't take a joke about themselves, but they also believe themselves to be incredibly talented. I can't remember who it was or I give the specific example, but somebody went and grabbed a high-end NBA point guard a few years ago, just huge. And the dude that was currently in the job for the team said, oh, we needed depth behind me. Like, no, we're coming to take your job. Like, they all think that, but they can't take a joke. The prime example is how few athletes can laugh at themselves during the ESPY Awards monologue. When they get buried, they sit there and they frown and they're ready to go punch Norm MacDonald in the face or whatever it is that's going on. So it's like this push-pull. So you see that number and it just hurts. Like, it just, you, and the one that drives me, like, if it were me, I would go straight to awareness because that was the one that I always used to look at when I was actually recruiting, when I was playing like NCAA back in 2004.
And you build your own team.
Yeah. It's like, is this guy smart? And because, like, if you don't, when you have the computer playing that particular person, like, you'd throw the football to a wide receiver and he would run to the sideline in the opposite direction of the football. It's like, if my awareness were in like the 40s, that I would take offense to because that's basically the Madden rating for you're dumb.
Yeah.
That's the one that would bother me.
Yeah. And how do they even get some of these numbers? Like, to me, the speed is relatively easy to think about how they could end up with the numbers and, you know, your accuracy and stuff like that. Like, you can see, but some of them are kind of tough to quantify. Now, I pulled all the numbers on quarterbacks, right? Because I think we spent basically, and look, this is a big part of this show. I have long argued, and I think most people have kind of come around on this. We see the holdouts with running backs and the devolution of the overall value of many other positions. That quarterback, like, basically, the NFL is on some level almost like a tennis match, except the two guys playing tennis are not actually playing against each other. They're playing against, like, a robot. And the reason why I say that is you almost to the word, especially when you get into the postseason, by and large can pick who is going to win a game just by saying, okay, tell me which quarterback is going to have the better game, and I'll tell you who's going to win. And I know that's frustrating to the other 21 starters that are on the field, not to mention the special teams and everybody else who makes a contribution during the course of the game. But the quarterback position is just so supremely elevated in the NFL right now that that's really all that matters. And even now, sometimes in fantasy football, certainly in gambling, it's all that matters is, like, how healthy is the quarterback? Everything else is secondary. And you buy into that as well, right? That the NFL, I mean, it's kind of funny to say because we just had a great tennis match between Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic. But if you actually think about it, it's almost like the quarterback is a tennis player. And instead of playing against another tennis player like they do in a tennis match, he's like playing against a whole army of guys on the other side of the net. But ultimately, whoever does the best as their, you know, on their side of the net is going to win, right? I mean, is that a crazy analogy or you buy in?
I buy in. Like, think about it this way, because this is how I learned when I was playing tennis younger, was it's basically you're playing against the wall. And how many times can you keep the rally going against the wall before the ball gets behind you? And the player that is more successful at that, the wall is a wall of 10 other people or 11 other people on the other side of the field that you're having to deal with and navigate through. So, yeah, absolutely. I think that's a pretty good analogy.
All right, so when we come back, let's do this. Let's dive into the overall analysis of the Madden numbers, which I've got in front of me right now, and see whether or not their ratings square with ours as to who the best quarterbacks are in the NFL. I think it'll be a interesting breakdown. Up next, did Madden get it right? Who should be angry? The top quarterbacks in the NFL according to the top video game of all time. This is Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Welcome back. Hope all of you are having fantastic Wednesdays wherever you may be across the country. This is the Geico Outkick Studios. I'm Clay Travis, and I want you to know that car shopping can be confusing with terms like dealer price, list price, and invoice. TrueCar shows you what other people paid for the car you want so you can recognize a good price when you're ready to buy a new or used car. Visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. This, as always, a confident show. How confident are we in the Madden ratings of quarterbacks? I think this will be an interesting discussion. We were just talking about how, look, this video game era, Madden has become something that I don't think anybody could have ever believed. I don't think anybody could have ever contemplated that John Madden, for instance, would become more famous as the namesake of a video game than he would as a Super Bowl winning head coach or as an announcer. But there are generations now, almost, of players in video games, and the vast majority of them know John Madden not as one of the legendary coaches of the NFL, but as the guy from the video game. And certainly that's the case for pretty much everybody who's playing now, with the exception of the oldest quarterbacks who would remember John Madden as really kind of an iconic voice. I'm trying to think. Brady, obviously, and Philip Rivers, I would think, and maybe also Drew Brees. John Madden would have done their games at some point in time. But outside of those, maybe Ben Roethlisberger, there's not even very many quarterbacks left in the league that John Madden would have called games for, which is pretty wild to think about because he's been out of the league for several years now. How long has Madden been out of the league, J-Mart? Like a decade?
It's been pretty good. Didn't he? I was going to say, for some reason, I thought I remembered him doing the first season of Sunday Night Football, but it may have been Collinsworth from the start. But it's been over a decade since he's been anything on television that we have seen, really.
Yeah, and he still makes an occasional appearance and whatnot, and obviously he's an iconic voice.
08.
08
so, when
yeah.
he was done. So, yeah, he did work with NBC, so I was right. He did do the first – it was him and Al Michaels right off the start, and then Collinsworth came in a couple years in, and then John Madden sort of receded back and decided he was going to spend time with his family and write some books.
So this will be like the 10th or 11th season, roughly, that we have had in the NFL without John Madden being affiliated, which squares roughly with my analysis of how many guys that he's actually called. So this is kind of crazy. I know sometimes they may make decisions that are designed to provoke attention in terms of who they decide are the best quarterbacks. But Patrick Mahomes, according to Madden, is the best quarterback in the NFL. Young guy, has only played 1 year as a starter. That is a bold, bold prediction to already give him the title of best quarterback in the NFL. I think he's also on the cover. There may be a connection there, potentially. Am I right that Mahomes is on the cover of the new Madden?
Yes.
So maybe that is the connection. Do you believe that Patrick Mahomes gets the number one rating on Madden, the best quarterback in the NFL rating, if he is not on the cover of the video game?
Yes, because it's all built on measurables. And then there are a couple of things like awareness and things, but generally it's on throwing ability and creativity and agility and all of these things, where I would assume near the top of the list would be Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. I don't have the list in front of me, but those would be the two guys when I'm thinking about Madden. Those guys leap off the page, because what is it we saw back in Madden 04 when Michael Vick was on the cover? Fastest guy I've ever seen in a football video game, and people just sort of spammed with him, and that's how they won their Madden championships back in the day, was playing with Vick. Mahomes is basically a video game character in real life
when you watch the way he plays. Some of the stuff he does, you shouldn't be able to do unless you're holding a controller. So I absolutely do agree that, especially in the Madden universe, he would be tops.
All right, he's a 97. Like, it's funny, my kids are so obsessed with Madden that they will rate everything as if it's Madden. I mean, this is what they do. They're like, what'd you think about that new Spider-Man movie? Oh, I'd give it a 94. You know, like, they go through all of life, like, rating things as if it's Madden. I mean, that's how much attention they pay, and they're 11-8. But that's how much the Madden ratings kind of factor into their universe. So, Patrick Mahomes, you agree with the decision. My only disagreement with it is just 1 year of production in the NFL. It's hard for me to say this guy is the best at anything off of 1 year, even though it was obviously an extraordinary year, even though he won the MVP, even though I think all of that is certainly justified on 1 year. It's still just 1 year. And I've just seen so many quarterbacks in their sophomore slump. And remember, Mahomes set out his entire first year. Year two comes out and becomes a superstar, the likes of which we haven't ever really seen. The kind of performance in what is effectively his rookie year in terms of actual on-the-field production. So Mahomes is the one. My only quibble with this would be, again, it's a one-year thing. He's a one-year wonder. The guy right after him, I think, might actually be a little bit overrated relative to his performance right now. Tom Brady, 96. Now, I know Brady has won six Super Bowls, but he's 41 years old. I thought he showed a decent amount of chinks in the armor, so to speak, in his most recent season. I'm not sure how many great years he has left. It's hard to criticize a guy coming off of a Super Bowl, but I don't consider right now, in my opinion, Tom Brady to be the second best quarterback in the NFL. You with me?
Yeah, no, I don't either. If you're looking across the board, I'm thinking about it from the Madden perspective, and I would suggest that I look at the ratings as this is what you're playing against, because when you're in control of them, you're going to do good and you're going to do bad based on your skill level with the game. But if you're playing against the computer, the AI control version, what does that tell you about Tom Brady? It tells you he's probably not going to throw interceptions unless you make great plays. He's not going to make mistakes. He's going to bury you with those short passes and things like that, and it's going to be hard to beat the New England Patriots. And when you look at it through that lens, I think it makes a little bit more sense, although at this stage, 96 is awfully high.
Here's another one I think that is awfully high. Phillip Rivers is the third best quarterback in the NFL, according to Madden. Now, I know he had a run in the most recent year. They won a playoff game on the road against the Baltimore Ravens. They have performed at times at a very high level with him. He's had a star-crossed NFL career, never been able to get to a Super Bowl. But I don't think there's any way at all that I would put Phillip Rivers as the third best quarterback in the NFL right now.
That, I think, is maybe a function of, yes, he may have had maybe his best year.
Statistically.
Yeah, in his career, and he was an MVP candidate. He wasn't going to win it, but he was an MVP candidate. So if you're looking at a bunch of guys that are very good, you could maybe make that argument. But no, I would not have Phillip Rivers as the third best quarterback in the NFL. Probably not top five at this point.
All right, then we've got Andrew Luck at 92. And I need to look this up because I don't have Drew Brees on my list, and I question, like, I pulled this off of a popular website to look at this. I need to look at what Drew Brees' number is, because Drew Brees put up some pretty incredible numbers, and I'm pulling up right now to see what Drew Brees is, what his overall is. Because I find it hard to believe that Drew Brees, okay, 92 overall. So, yeah, they are putting, you know, effectively right now when you look at this list, Drew Brees, 92 overall, he needs to be in this mix. But he's beneath, again, I don't think he should be beneath beneath Phillip Rivers at all. But Drew Brees didn't finish the season necessarily very well, was a top MVP candidate, and he's tied right now for fourth best in the NFL with Andrew Luck. What do you think about that? Andrew Luck and Drew Brees, that rounds out the top five. And if you're just getting in your car, this is an objective list, I mean an objective rating of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. The top five, according to Madden, in this order: Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, Andrew Luck, and Drew Brees, tied at 92.
I'm okay with that. I would probably have Rodgers instead of Breeze. I might not have Breeze in the top five. I didn't think his season was all that great last year, and I feel like there's a lot more talent around him in New Orleans than there was, for example, around Andrew Luck. I don't have too much of a qualm with it. I mean, Breeze has won a Super Bowl before, and he's no doubt a great player, no doubt a first ballot Hall of Famer. Luck is interesting just because there are a few guys that you can look at. Another rating is injury risk on Madden, and certainly Luck's going to be on there. Aaron Rodgers, because he's dealt with that, is probably going to be on there as well. But Luck, based on what we saw last year and based on his overall talent and what we know he's capable of, if they continue to build around him properly, absolutely, I could see him in the top five. Right now, I'd say he is a top five player when he's healthy.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think if you want a flyer on Super Bowl champ, I like the Colts. And I also think if you want a flyer on league MVP, I think Andrew Luck's around 12-1. Most recently that I saw, I think in year two with Frank Reich, he can be off the charts. Because a lot of times you see that leap in terms of offensive connectivity and just efficiency in year two in a system. And I think given the fact that we know Andrew Luck is very smart and is Peyton Manning-like in his diligence and preparation, I think year two in this system, particularly as he comes off that injury, I think he could be really kind of off the charts. So we'll see with him. Outside the top five, Russell Wilson. I mean, Russell Wilson had his best year as a pro. I think it's hard to quibble with him in the top 10. But I do think this is why a lot of people paid attention to this. Aaron Rodgers is all the way down at the seventh best quarterback in the NFL, according to Madden. I mean, that voice, that sound, like you were legitimately peeved over this.
It's just more that, I mean, it's been a while since he's won anything that really matters. I did not think he played particularly well last year. I don't think it was all – I mean, that was not a hunky-dory situation in Green Bay. We've read the articles, and we've seen it, and we see there's a new head coach there and all this. But Rodgers sometimes skated the blame at times in his career. This past season, I felt like he was average when he was out there, at least on his own scale. But putting him at seventh, like, I can't put Phillip Rivers above Aaron Rodgers. Like, I don't feel good about doing that. I don't think there's a universe in which Aaron Rodgers, when you're looking at objective numbers and what he's capable of doing with the football, is not a top five quarterback.
I agree with that. And by the way, after the top seven, I think it starts to get really kind of intriguing. You got Matt Ryan, who statistically puts up big numbers. And I feel like, maybe I'm wrong in this, but I feel like Matt Ryan is going to turn into one of the poster boys for his legacy. Would be a billion times different if they don't blow that 28-3 lead.
No doubt.
Right now, if Matt Ryan has won that Super Bowl and had an MVP season and has put up the numbers that he has, he would be a slam dunk, no doubt, Hall of Famer. I still think he's probably going to end up making the Hall of Fame just because the numbers that he's going to post are going to be off the charts. But if he had won that Super Bowl, he'd be a no-brainer. And I'm not sure that he's going to get it done now if you just look at the trajectory of the Atlanta Falcons.
Right. I think this year is big for Matt Ryan. It's big for that team because they do have a lot of firepower. Some people are starting to turn around on them and thinking, this could be another Super Bowl potential year for the Atlanta Falcons. Matt Ryan is just that consummate. He's going to be good, and you're going to look at him and say, ooh, we're playing against Matt Ryan. But that one game, it's hard to say this because I have no idea what's going to happen, but I don't think they're ever going to play in a Super Bowl again. I think that was the one opportunity, and when you're up and you can't finish that job, that's going to be the thing. When he passes away, I know this is morbid, but this is the way that I classify.
When he passes away, when he retires, let's say retires.
Well, no, I'm looking at it from this perspective. In his obituary, when you're talking about what he's done in sports, that loss is going to be before anything else you talk about that happened, and it's not really his fault. There were a lot of other things that went wrong. Matt Ryan didn't play badly in that game, but I look at the newspaper clipping about his life, and especially if it's written by a sports writer in Atlanta, and what you're going to talk about after you talk about his family and all those things, you're going to talk about the loss in the Super Bowl as opposed to all the yards he threw for.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I also think that there's another side of that same coin right now going on in the NFL, and it's a guy not very far different from Matt Ryan. You got Ben Roethlisberger, who obviously has won a couple of Super Bowls. He's the next best quarterback, according to Madden. And then you got Cam Newton. And I feel like Cam is in the exact same spot. as Matt Ryan, where I really don't feel like the Carolina Panthers are going to get back to a Super Bowl, right? I just with Cam Newton as their quarterback. And Cam's coming off the injury. We'll see how he does this year. But if Cam Newton and the Panthers had won that game, much like if Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons, both NFC South teams, had won their games, everything is different about their career. The way we talk about them, the way we think about them, because effectively you become a made man when you win a Super Bowl. And I think both those guys had good chances, and both of them came up short, and I'm not sure they're going to get another opportunity.
I think you're probably right. I actually think, weirdly enough, even though that Carolina team was so dominant that year, because they came up so woefully short, it doesn't stick the way that the Falcons choking that Super Bowl away and losing it to the New England Patriots does. That story is something we still talk about. It's something that's still joked about amongst anybody but Atlanta fans. I think many people have forgotten Carolina was even in that Super Bowl that Denver won. Like, and I think that that might actually be better for Cam, that it's almost just fallen by the wayside into NFL obscurity as opposed to this historic comeback that we saw the Patriots make against the Falcons.
No, that is intriguing to think about. Well, and then we get into some guys that I think it's we don't really know, right? Like, I would say the verdict on effectively the top 10, you can argue about who should be in the top 10. You can argue, hey, is Ben Roethlisberger still a top 10 quarterback given his injuries and how long he's been in the league? You can argue, is Cam a top 10 quarterback? But then you go with Jared Goff. A little bit wacky, mm-hmm. I think, that Jared Goff's up that high. The numbers might reflect it. I'm not sure that I buy in.
It's a Sean McVay effect right there.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think that's a fair question. Baker Mayfield.
Boy, that's
right?
fast.
I mean, that is, we talked about, well, you know, that Mahomes went from not even ranked, basically, to the best quarterback in the NFL. Baker right now, 12th best quarterback in the NFL. He's above Deshaun Watson, and he's above Carson Wentz, which I think is a little bit crazy.
Yeah,
right,
I would have Wentz for sure, and I might, depending on the problem with Watson is what they're surrounding him with and the discombobulation surrounding that organization.
And
but
also,
Wentz is a top 10 quarterback to me.
Yeah, can Watson stay healthy? But
right.
Yes, Wentz, and I guess maybe that's the question too with Wentz is can
yes.
he stay healthy? Then you got Dak, which I think Dak's a little bit overrated there.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Cousins, Kirk Cousins at same rating as Dak. And then this is the group that to me is the most intriguing on the entire list, all right? So those are the guys that are, like, I would put Dak in this group, right, where they really haven't proven themselves necessarily. Maybe you could also put Deshaun Watson and Baker Mayfield in this group. But these are the guys that I think, would you buy, sell on them? Would you buy or sell stock on them? And that's where I want to go to next when we come back. Final segment of Hour 2. We're breaking down the NFL quarterbacks as we get ready for NFL training camp. Officially, everybody will be in by Friday. These are like the 10 guys that I'm going to go through, and I want your opinion. I'll give you my opinion as well. I want to treat them as stocks. Would you buy or sell the stock in these 10? I would say we have really no idea what the future is going to carry forward for these 10. Buying or selling on these 10 NFL starting quarterbacks. That's next. This is OutKick on Fox Sports Radio.
This is OutKick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Geico OutKick Studios. We are in the middle of breaking down in advance of NFL training camps beginning overall quarterback ratings according to Madden. And so if you're out there right now and you're listening to us, the top of the list was Patrick Mahomes. Up next, they had Phillip Rivers, which I thought was a little bit aggressive. And then they end up with Andrew Luck and I believe we had Andrew Luck and Drew Brees tied at 92. At the 94, oh, sorry, Tom Brady was second. That's the top five anyway. I just mangled trying to explain all that.
Well done.
Well done by me. The top five quarterbacks, according to the most recent Madden ratings, number one overall, Patrick Mahomes. Number two overall, Tom Brady. Number three overall, we had Phillip Rivers. And then in the fourth spot, tie, so it's a tie for the top five completion, Andrew Luck and also Drew Brees. And then you've got a lot of other guys, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Ben Roethlisberger, Cam Newton, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott. than Kirk Cousins. But these names beyond here, I want to run through, and I'm going to bring up some of those names I just hit as well. A lot of guys we know we would buy, right? Like, if you believe they can win a Super Bowl, if they're high-level performers over years, you may not believe, for instance, that Matt Ryan is going to win a Super Bowl or really take his game to a next level. But there's very few NFL teams that wouldn't love to have Matt Ryan as a starting quarterback, right? I think the same thing is true of Aaron Rodgers, of Russell Wilson, of Andrew Luck. Assuming those guys can stay healthy, like, there isn't a lot of uncertainty about what they are capable of at the quarterback position. So here to finish off hour two, and then probably to go into the start of hour three, because this has been pretty fun stuff and we're getting great reaction from it on social media. I'm going to give you guys an opportunity, and by you guys, I mean me and Jason Martin, but also you. You can tweet me at Clay Travis. You can tweet Jason Martin at Jason Mart at JMart at JMart Zone, I think, right?
That's right.
That's confusing.
Yeah.
All right. But so would you buy or sell? All right. Buy or sell, and I'm going to start buy or sell with Jared Goff. And I think that reaction is the one that a lot of people listening right now have too. You have to give him a 5-year contract at a, you know, $25 million-plus dollar figure. You are an NFL GM. Are you buying or selling Jared Goff? And I'll give you my answer. I'm not sure. Like, I don't have any real clue because I'm not sure how much of Jared Goff is Jared Goff versus the brilliance of Sean McVay. So I'm ambivalent right now. At times he's looked incredible, but I wonder how many quarterbacks that Sean McVay could do this for.
See, that's where I am. And then the question is, am I the GM of the Rams, meaning I still have Sean McVay and I can keep that pair together? Then, yeah, I think probably so, unless Sean McVay says, hey, go get me somebody better. But if I'm somebody else where I'm not necessarily as certain about my head coach long term, that's where the trick comes in, and that's where I'm not sure I give him big money on the open market somewhere else.
Let's pretend right now that you are the Miami Dolphins, right? I mean, the Dolphins right now have, as quarterbacks, Josh Rosen and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Total uncertainty about what their quarterback of the future might be. If you had the opportunity to wipe that clean, that team, those guys off the roster, which you would, they haven't given up a lot for them, and you could give Jared Goff a 5-year guarantee, would you do it? So I'm going to do this for every team going forward, but use the Miami Dolphins basically as a baseline. I'm not trying to pick on Dolphin fans. Might seem like it because you haven't had a quarterback since Dan Marino, but I'm just saying use them as your baseline NFL team. You've given a 5-year contract to Jared Goff if you're the Miami Dolphins.
Definitely not. And yeah. I'm also not sure about Brian Flores. Like, I mean, we'll see. But
yeah,
we
right.
don't know anything but there. Just, there's just too many things out there for me to hand him the keys.
If you're a great quarterback, it doesn't matter who your head coach
Very
is.
Very true. That's right.
Right?
Well, look, nobody's saying Jared Goff is a great quarterback.
No.
I saw him as a bad quarterback, and then I saw him as a pretty good quarterback. But I think that the coach and the scheme had a lot to do with that.
Would you give Cam a 5-year deal to be your quarterback of the Dolphins?
Cam Newton?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not sure that I would.
I'm reticent, but yes.
Okay. We'll talk about this more when we come back. Top of hour three, breaking down who do we believe in as NFL training camps get closer and closer at the quarterback position. The tough calls now all coming your way to start off with hour three. Appreciate all of you. This is Outkick. I'm Clay Travis, and you're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Live from the Geico Outkick Studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And the Tulsi Gabbard story blew up, got a lot of attention over what she said with us. And by the way, you guys were fantastic. A lot of you reaching out to Tulsi Gabbard, Democratic presidential candidate, thanking her for coming on the show. I thought we had a fun and interesting conversation with her. I hope that other candidates, Republicans, Democrats, whoever they may be, will reach out and be interested in coming on and talking with us, because I think the feedback on that was fantastic. Feedback that is not always fantastic is when your Madden football ratings come out. If you're just waking up with us, there's five people at the top of the list with Madden that probably there's not a lot of question about, right? Number one overall player in the NFL at the quarterback position, according to the newest Madden ratings, Patrick Mahomes. Then you go to Tom Brady. Then you got Phillip Rivers. Then you have a tie between Andrew Luck and Drew Brees. From there, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Ben Roethlisberger. I think most of those guys, there's almost consistency about. We go to Cam Newton, and then I think we get into a lot of uncertainty. Baker Mayfield. My hypothesis here as we go through the remainder of the quarterbacks is, I'm saying if you were the Miami Dolphins, who do not right now believe that they have a future franchise quarterback, let's assume Josh Rosen's not going to pan out. We know that Ryan Fitzpatrick has not got a lot of years left no matter what. Would you give these guys five-year contracts if you were the Miami Dolphins? I'm just using them as a proxy for a team that definitely needs a quarterback and probably doesn't have one on its roster right now. Okay, so we both said no on Jared Goff. I said no on Cam. You said yes.
Yeah, let me say something about that, because I was sitting here thinking about that during the break. He was drafted in 2011. He is 30 years old, just turned 30 years old.
Yep. Which he is not old for a quarterback usually.
Yeah, I remember we actually discussed this on the show years ago about how 29 is the accepted where you're supposed to peak as a quarterback. So he's a little past that, and he's dealt with more injuries than I think people realize. I mean, he's had back problems. He's had neck issues.
Shoulder.
He's had leg issues. Shoulder, that's right. He's taken a beating. He was sort of the poster child for trying to protect quarterbacks because he, you know, kind of balked at it with some of the hits that he was taking on Monday Night Football a couple of years ago. So I am torn. I think he might be the toughest call for me because I know what he can do, but I also know, I don't know how much longer he can play just because of how beaten up he is. So I'm going to stick with yes, but I'm by no means comfortable about that.
All right, I'm no on Cam. Baker Mayfield, I'm a yes.
Oh, yeah.
100%. You are, I assume, as well. Deshaun Watson.
He's a yes for me. I mean, he was my favorite guy in that draft. I thought he should have gone number one. I certainly thought he should have gone over Mitchell Trubisky. He's another guy where it just depends. Some of these, we have to throw a situation out and just look at it from the team perspective. I know what Deshaun Watson's capable of. I also know he's probably going to throw a couple potentially to the other team, but I would definitely pay for Deshaun Watson.
I think Deshaun Watson's a yes. I'm a little bit nervous about the injury situations, and maybe that's partly because they can't protect him, but he's torn an ACL in both legs. And that does make me a little bit nervous. But when he's healthy on the field, I believe in him. So I would go yes. I think he's worth the risk. Carson Wentz, and by the way, I think it's crazy that Carson Wentz is this far down on the list.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Has to be based on health. But I think Carson Wentz has the potential to be a top five quarterback. A no-brainer yes for me in terms of signing him.
Yeah, I had him just outside the top five. I might have had him number six last year when I ranked the quarterbacks. And yeah, the injury thing is the only thing that might scare you off. But, I mean, it's ridiculous that he is being discussed in this particular list.
What about Dak? Because this
not
is basically the decision that the Cowboys have to make.
I know. I'm not a Dak guy, even though I love the intangibles. I think he's a winner. I love his character. I love everything about him, except for the fact that I just don't necessarily believe in a consistent ability from Dak Prescott to throw the football. And that bothers me. He misses some throws that he should not be missing. He makes some plays for you, but I don't think you win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott as your best player, and I think your quarterback should be your best player.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think I could commit for 5 years to Dak. Now, the Cowboys may end up doing it. They got controversy with Ezekiel Elliott. They're going to have to decide what to do with Amari Cooper. And Jerry Jones's fevered dreams, I think he wants it to be Aikman, Irvin, and Emmitt Smith all over again. I'm just not sure that that trio has it put together, and I'm certainly most leery of the comparison between Dak and Aikman, honestly. So I think we're both there. Cousins, Kirk Cousins, I think I would do it. I understand that Minnesota Viking fans are probably rolling their eyes, and Redskins fans certainly would love to be in this position. We could have, by the way, picked the Washington Redskins almost as easily as we picked the Miami Dolphins, but they did draft Dwayne Haskins, Redskins, so they've at least got a young draft pick there. Would you give 5 years to Cousins?
Yes, I don't feel grand about it. He made my top five list.
last summer the most overrated persons in all of sports, and that overrated sounds like a slight. It doesn't mean they're bad. It just means they're not worth their hype. Outsizes what they're actually going to be able to do for you. I think Kirk Cousins can be great. He's another one that's a little bit inconsistent for me. I didn't love the signing. I mean, I know why Minnesota signed him, but I thought they paid him more money than he's actually going to be worth in the end. So I'll say yes, because I don't know how many better guys you could find than Kirk Cousins, but I also don't think if you bring in Kirk Cousins to my Miami Dolphins that we're going to be winning a Super Bowl.
Derek Carr.
It's tough. It looked like he was on some kind of trajectory.
I mean,
right,
he would have been the
MVP Christmas Eve
until he broke his leg.
Yeah, same day as Mariota broke his leg. I would say no. I just don't know enough at this point, and I have not been particularly impressed with him since he came back. He also seems to be a little bit soft when it comes to his character in terms of being able to take criticism and things like that. I just don't know on that one. I'm torn on that one, too. I might say yes on the right day. Today, I'm going to say no.
I think I would say yes, but that might be buying into the hype about what he's going to do this year. Right now, I think there's probably not enough evidence. I think there's a lot of Raider fans who said, hey, we already bought this meal, and I'm not sure we're getting a great gig on it, a great deal on it. So I would kind of very nervously say yes. Andy Dalton, I'm betting both of us say no.
Definitely not. I still can't believe. It's like, how long are the Cincinnati Bengals just going to continue to trot him out there to win them eight games?
Well, I think it's the quintessential.
He's like, the Tyrod Taylor here.
I think it's the quintessential you're afraid of being worse, right? Like, if you're right around that middle ground, I think Andy Dalton is somewhere around the 16th to the 22nd best quarterback in the NFL,
agreed, right?
And you're afraid that if you let him go, you're going to have the 28th or 29th or 30th or 32nd best quarterback.
Great, but you need to bottom out so that you can be at the top of the draft and actually find an Andrew Luck or a Trevor Lawrence or whoever it is that you like, a Justin Herbert, whatever it is. Like, Andy Dalton makes you just good enough to make it hard to replace him.
All right, Mariota can't do it.
Nope.
Can't do it right now.
Nope.
What about, and I'm kind of surprised he's this far down on the list. He's actually below Mariota and Andy Dalton. What about Matthew Stafford?
Man, Matthew Stafford's arm talent is outrageous.
Yep.
I mean, just outrageous. And I think he's a good locker room guy. But at his age, that one's really, really tough. Like, I could sit here and debate that 5 minutes.
I think I might
pay him.
I think I probably would. Still has not ever won a playoff game.
No.
I think it's like 40 some odd years since, maybe 50, since the Detroit Lions even won a playoff game. Am I right about that?
I'm looking it up right now.
Look at that. It's been, I mean, Barry Sanders, I don't think they ever won a playoff game with Barry Sanders.
Well, I can tell you, as of May the 23rd, they had not won a playoff game in 10,000 days.
It's a lot of days. But my wife is from Detroit, so I remember looking this up. There was a fun like roster of how long it's been since you won a playoff game, and it's amazing how many different teams had been almost forever. So you can keep looking that up if you can find it right now.
Here it is.
Yeah.
January the 5th, 1992.
Okay, they did win
Dallas.
One in 92. All right. So that's not that far. I mean, what is that? And 92 doesn't sound that old to me when you say it, but now that's almost 2020.
Yeah, we're old.
I mean,
bud.
27 years.
Yeah, it's been a minute. It's been 10,000 days. It's been, let's see, 2012. Yes, it would have. I'm terrible at math, but yes, that's right. 27 years.
All right. So I said 40. It's actually been 27. All right. What about Garoppolo?
Yes.
I don't think I would.
I don't know. Like, I mean, look how long I just had to pause to think about that. I don't know. I need to see more. That's the only thing, because we saw him come in. I don't know if the league's going to figure him out or if Shanahan's going to make him look better than he is. He might be a Jared Goff, honestly. He might be another one of those kind of guys. And the same way I feel about Goff might end up being the same way I feel about Jimmy G. Plus, he's coming off a pretty bad injury. I just need to see. I need to see more from him. So maybe I'll pull that back and say no, because I don't know enough to hand him the keys.
What about Foles?
I think that Nick Foles is a backup disguised as a starter. He has a great Halloween costume. I would not pay him.
I would not pay him. Okay, so here are the last guys on the list. Lamar Jackson, I would not pay. Jameis Winston, I would not pay. And Mitch, this is crazy. If you're a Bears fan, Mitch Trubisky is rated in Madden below Jameis Winston, Lamar Jackson, Nick Foles, Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, that's a pretty rough spot to find yourself in, right?
Yeah, I mean, I could see him above a couple of those guys, but not a whole lot. And you
so
remember,
we agree that you wouldn't sign any of those guys either?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you're talking about a five-year deal to really either set your franchise up or set it back. And
yeah, you're
I
talking about $125 million, basically. I mean, $25 million a year. I mean, none of these guys are right now Russell Wilson caliber where you're getting well over $30 million. They're not top 10 guys. But the market value for veteran quarterbacks who are outside of their rookie deal is going to be $20 million plus. And so, I mean, I think that's really the decision that a lot of these teams are going to be faced with, right? Like, the Dallas Cowboys have to decide, what do we do with Dak? The Tennessee Titans have to decide, what do we do with Mariota? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have to decide, what do we do with Jameis Winston? Some of these guys are still young enough where their you know, salaries are not up for bid right now. But for Mariota, for Winston, and I would say for Dak, all three of those guys right now, this season coming up is worth probably $150 million to them, right? Because if they come out and any one of those three has a electric, outstanding season and leads their team into the playoffs, again in the case of Dak and Mariota, for the first time in the case of Jameis, they're going to get huge contracts, right? I mean, the first 4 years won't matter. We live in an era right now where if you perform at the right time, right as you're coming to market, then those teams, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tennessee Titans, and the Dallas Cowboys, are all going to try to get deals done and get deals done for big-time dollar figures. Now, with Jameis and with Mariota, there's maybe not as much pressure on the team because they can always franchise.
Yep.
They have to give a lot of money for 1 year guarantee, but they can say, okay, we want to see you do it for multiple years. And certainly I would imagine both Jameis and Mariota are going to sit around and say, no, we want to be paid right now what our fair market value is, and it's a multi-year guarantee. So I do think that's going to be an intriguing storyline to follow as we move into the NFL season. But I think just by running through that list, which again was based on the Madden rankings, you kind of get a sense for how much uncertainty there is. Once you get outside of basically like the top 10 guys, there's not that many teams that feel very comfortable about their quarterback situation.
Now, let me ask you this question. Where would you put Kyler Murray? I know we haven't seen him play a single down in the NFL, but where do you believe in Kyler Murray in terms of if you had the opportunity to pay him, knowing what little we know right now, which is just what we saw in college, where would you put him?
I would put him down around, you know, the bottom five of that list. Okay. I mean, I just the problem for me with Kyler Murray, I love Cliff Kingsbury and what he's been able to do offensively, so I think he's in the perfect system. I just really wonder and whether a 5'9" quarterback is capable of dominating in the NFL. And that might be an unfair statement, but I mean, I look towards history oftentimes in trying to project guys as to who they can be, ceilings and floors. And Johnny Manziel looked like, as much as I loved watching him play, he looked tiny on the football field, and he's faster and has a bigger arm than Doug Flutie. And Johnny Manziel's substantially bigger, I think, than Kyler Murray. Now, he may not have had the perfect system, certainly, with the Cleveland Browns. He certainly did not have the best coach. But it's just hard for me to believe that he's going to be outstanding. But it's a good question. I want to remind you, make sure you don't miss our new Wins and Losses podcast that I'm doing. It's a podcast exclusive. This week's guest is Kirk Herbstreit. Couple of hours. I think you guys are going to love it. If you're a college football fan at all, you need to listen. The only place you can get it is through the podcast universe. It's podcast exclusive. You can also always go download this podcast. Make sure you don't miss anything. I'm going to be teeing off here later today, the PGA, the WGC event down in Memphis. Thanks to all of you for listening. This has been Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.